Amen.
Thank you, Commissioner Taylor. And now I'm going to turn the time over to Ms. Powers for our briefing.
Thank you. This is September 1, 2022. It's a review meeting for the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board. This is the second application review meeting of the first trimester of fiscal year 2023. The remainder of the applications received will still need discussment is a new word, in October. So we do have some new applications to review even then. CIB runs in a trimester basis, so for 4 months, or it's a 4 month block. 3 months are for the review of applications, and the fourth month is when the actual approved funding is allocated if the revenue is sufficient. There are 5 new projects to be discussed, and the financial sheet indicates if the board authorized all funding. Keep in mind that the revenue you see there is as of the date indicated. That's the revenue available. If you funded everything, you go to the right, and that's what the impact it would have on the available revenue. So right now we do have mineral lease revenue, and we do have bonus revenue, but because of the applications that have come in, they are asking for that revenue, and that shows what it would impact. The mineral lease fund can be allocated for grants, 0%, and interest-bearing loans, so it is kind of a broad fund that allows the board some discretion on what they can award. The bonus account, however, can only be allocated as an interest-bearing loan. So CIB cannot predict what projects will come in, but we should be mindful of what the funding is. You'll notice that I've given you a little indication or projection, and it is so broad and is so unpredictable, but just for you, Treasurer Slaw, we did kind of look into that, and that's just a possible scenario. But it is, I will keep you posted on the new revenue coming in, but the loan repayments are pretty fixed. So until you authorize more loans, and then we get more revenue back through the loans. The revenue that this board allocates is from the resource development on federal land only, not state land. And the major source to keep the fund revolving, which is in statute, is to allocate the funding as a loan if possible. The board's standard rate is 2.5% as of this date.
I turn the time over to the chair. Thank you, Ms. Powers. Any brief discussion on that before we move on? Seeing none. Okay, next, Chairman's message and introductions. I want to thank you all for being here and allowing me the opportunity to enjoy a nice vacation. It looks like Commissioner Adams didn't turn the place too far upside down, so I'm appreciative of that. I asked Ms. Powers to place just a simplified version of Robert's Rules of Order in everybody's packet. And then also we've emailed the governor's handbook, and particularly we're looking at sections, page 15, parliamentary procedure. There's some good information in here, role of the chair. And, you know, I want to just discuss this briefly. You know, my first meeting, kind of absorbing everything and watching how the board functions, and certainly have a lot of respect for the board. I do see an opportunity to improve our procedure and how we're conducting business. And I can tell you from my time spent on the Grand County Council and being one versus about 12, parliamentary procedure was really essential to kind of establish order and to give the remaining 12 a chance, you know, when we were debating. And so I think what I'm looking for is, in particular, is discussion is intended to be pretty brief before a motion is on the floor. Please do not speak unless you're recognized by the chair. It's really important not to interrupt one another, and particularly once we get into debating issues and projects, it's really important that We establish who has the floor. You know, typically you have two periods to speak when a motion is on the floor. If you want to ask someone a question, please turn the time over to them. Make it clear that you're turning the time over to them or not if you still, you know, would like to keep the floor while you're asking a question so that we can be as efficient and respectful as possible. I would appreciate everyone just being mindful of that. And, you know, sometimes we things get a little chaotic and busy and these things happen. But I think as we get more casual as a board, things can get messier. And so that is a point I really wanted to make. And, you know, I'm certainly not perfect if, you know, and we have other chairmen here sitting on the board. So, you know, if a point of order is well received, please do give it. So. Thank you for that. I think with that, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the August 4th meeting.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Motion to approve the minutes by Chairman Zanotti. Do I have a second? Second. I'm sorry, would you, we had just met. Would you please remind me your name?
Scott Bartholomew.
That's right, Scott. Excuse me. So second by Mr. Bartholomew. Any discussion on the minutes?
Chair.
Yes. Commissioner Lytle, please.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Couldn't hear any of Candace's review. I'll refer to the notes. Point of order, how do you want me to present myself after your discussion on the rules in terms of somebody being able to, I know it's difficult with the virtual part of this meeting, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to be in the meeting, even if it is virtually, but to be able to participate, and with Robert's rules, I need somebody to be watching the screen a little bit, and thank you to whomever was just then, but just want to tell everybody good morning. If you've already done have you already done your introductions?
Not yet.
Not yet, Commissioner Lytle. So what we'll do is we'll have Zach watch for me. He's watching my back. And then I'll give Zach permission to nudge me or kind of speak while we're in the middle of a discussion or whenever, and just let me know, and then I'll make sure you get the floor.
So, thank you.
You bet. Yeah, so excuse me, after we approve minutes, we'll go back and do introductions. So if we don't have any discussion to approve the minutes, I'll call for a vote. Do we need to do a roll call vote for the minutes? No? We'll just standard vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye. My aye is for the approval.
Okay. All right. Motion to approve the minutes passes unanimously. Okay, we'll go back to introductions. We'll start on the end there with Commissioner Todd.
Okay, there we go. Commissioner Greg Todd, I represent Duchesne County.
I'm Commissioner Tudor Ogden, representing Sevier County.
Kurt Slaw, I'm the treasurer's designee on this board.
Good morning, Nagi Zanotti representing UDOT Commission. Also, I'm bringing you some heat and sunshine from St. George because you all look so pale to me. You can get your own suntan. You don't have to travel for Labor Day weekend to St. George. Also, bring greetings from Commissioner Bruce Adams, who is in Budapest, Hungary this morning. And he says to me, tell everyone that he can see you all from there. So better behave. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, good morning and welcome, everyone. I'm Commissioner Jerry Taylor, Garfield County, representing 5-County AOG.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning, Curtis Wells, representing rural Utah. Thank you.
And Chris Piper with the Utah Attorney General's Office.
Mayor Dean Baker, and I represent UNIC.
Commissioner Scott Bartholomew from 6-County AOG.
Laura Hampton with the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget.
Thank you. And we have Commissioner Lytle representing Daggett County. Or is he representing his AOG?
AOG.
Excuse me.
This is Jack Lytle. I'm the Daggett County Commissioner representing the Uinta Basin AOG.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you for being with us, Commissioner Lytle. Okay, moving on to new projects. First, we have Roosevelt City. Come on up.
Number one on the agenda today is Roosevelt City. They're requesting a $629,000 loan, 15-year, 0%, for street improvements on State Street. They have other funding, $382,000 applicant cash, $1,500,000 federal grant, it's joint highways, small urban grant, and $300,000 state grant from UDOT. So the portion of the CIB funding would be 22% of this project, which is to do State Street improvements, remove the existing fencing, pipe, sidewalk, driveway, curb, gutter, and sidewalk, and appurtenances that in order to reconstruct this roadway, they will add manholes, relocate fire hydrants, and you've read it. It's a good project. My question for the board: in the AOG review, the pavement along State Street is showing signs of distress and lacks shoulders and sidewalks. Are these additions of shoulders and sidewalks then for this portion of the road? Also, is the applicant cash and other funding in place?
Is that to us?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, yes, the cash and other funding is in place. Oh, sorry. Let me introduce us. First of all, I'm Mayor J.R. Byrd. Happy to be here. Thank you for having us. This is our city manager, Joshua Bake, Brett with Citco Engineering, and our assistant city manager, Ryan Claiborne, is with us also today. So,
welcome.
Thank you again. So the project, the funding of the project is in place. So this is a project that we started 4 to 5 years ago, and we actually went to the, maybe closer. So the fifth, and the $1.5 million comes from the joint highway. It's a federal grant that we were awarded several years ago. But because we were awarded that grant, we weren't able to fund, or they weren't able to fund until just about a year and a half ago. And so that project's been on hold for this long until that happened. We all know what happened with COVID, inflation, and those types of things. And so the $1.5 million was to pay for the whole project when we actually started to do other cost estimates and finalize some numbers. We realized that we were going to have a shortfall. That's when DOT stepped in. We were able to secure $300,000 from a DOT grant to help this project move along. Again, it came in over budget. Roosevelt City decided to go ahead and add $382,000 of our own money to the project. Still came under budget. And just because of inflation and everything, so we're to the point where we're at. The street itself, the largest section of the street that will be done, has no curb and gutter or sidewalk on it. It's definitely a safety hazard. It's State Street, so it's our main street. We've been working on this corridor for quite some time to get it finished off. And this will almost finish it with the curb, gutter, and sidewalk that we need for our citizens. To give you just a little bit of insight, it's in an area of town that's little lower income. There's a lot of we have a lot of electric vehicles up and down this street, which is not the best situation given the circumstances. And so this is, for us, it's a top priority. It would be done earlier, except that we had to wait for that funding of the joint highway. And so we're here asking for $629,000 to complete that project.
Thank you. Okay, we'll open it up for discussion and questions to the applicants. Commissioner Tall?
I just might make mention, I've lived in that area, and when you mentioned the electric vehicles, that's the scooters, the lower income people.
That right, the handicapped.
Down, the handicapped. So I never wanted to walk that road. I always went another way because it's a very busy road. But there's no way for pedestrians, et cetera. And it is just off Highway 40, which is very, it's a real busy intersection also. So I just wanted to bring that up. It is a perspective. It is needed. Whatever is decided, it is needed.
Thank you, Commissioner. Ms. Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for clarifying the electric vehicles. That was one of my questions. I'm like, what exactly do you mean by
that's
that?
That's what I meant, yes. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's great. I just wanted to, have you been working with the UDOT regional planner on this at all? Have they been looped into it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Great, okay.
And Brett, you can kind of speak to that. But yes, we absolutely have. And
great.
And that's, we were lucky to get the $300,000 UDOT grant from them. They saw it as a very high priority project as well.
And the UDOT grant came for sidewalk communities for pedestrian sidewalks.
Okay, thank you. Chair recognizes Commissioner Lytle.
In keeping with your discussion on the brevity of the discussion prior to a motion, would you accept a motion?
Yes, sir.
Make a motion to approve the project as requested.
Thank you, Commissioner Lyle. Is there a second?
I'm going to second that.
Second by Commissioner Todd. Additional discussion.
Additional discussion. Can we do a 15-year? That's what they're requesting on a road, Candace.
Good point.
It depends on the revenue source. If they're pledging BNC road funds, it can only be a 10-year. But if they're pledging mineral lease, which is likely, you can do a 15-year. But if you're pledging BNC road funds, the maximum term would be a 10-year term. Years.
I don't know that we have a lot of mineral lease to pledge, and so it would be the BNC road funds.
So, yeah, then it would be a 10-year, which would... I'm not sure what the payment would be, but it has to be paid off from the time you close the bond 10 years later.
And we did, may I, Chairman, we did notice when this project was assessed that there was, the suggestion was to have a grant portion included in that. We're definitely in favor of any grant we can get with the project, obviously. We know that we have another project coming before the board that is kind of a competing project. Obviously, this is our number one project. You know, we need to take care of our needs, and we work first and play later. That's my slogan. But so any favorable grant money that we could get towards that project would be helpful. Either way, we just need to get that one done. So,
Commissioner Lytle, will you please clarify your motion then? Regarding the terms, is that as requested, 15-year, 0%?
But if it's going to be BNC.
So if I understood you correctly, or the discussion correctly at least, the 15-year will not work, and would it be wise to either rescind or change it to the 10-year?
I don't know if a rescission is necessary because you didn't really spell out the terms in your motion. I think just maybe a clarification so the board's clear on what your motion is on the floor.
Based on the discussion, am I correct in hearing that it will need to be a 10-year?
Yes.
Yes.
It would have to be.
Then my motion would reflect a 10-year.
Okay. Mr. Chair, can I make a comment?
Please.
Okay. So... this seems like a very appropriate project for CIB to fund. Duchesne County is a high mineral producer. This is critical infrastructure. And I want to contrast that to the next project, right? Because, as you mentioned, we work now and we play later. And there's less money than there was probably 3 or 4 years ago to fund things that are not critical infrastructure. So I would be more open to providing some grant, especially since the term of their loan now is, if it goes back to 10 years, I don't know if you've looked at your cash flow situation and are worried about, you know, bringing that term down at all, but I would be more open to providing partial grant on a project like this, because I'm probably not going to be as in favor of your next project, but I also want to make sure that...
that's fair.
I want to make sure that the basin gets their fair share, and I want to make sure that it's done on critical infrastructure. That's what I want to do, and so I would be more in favor of doing maybe 50% grant with a 10-year, you know, slightly interest-bearing loan so that we could do that other part from the bonus fund. And then I would probably not be as in favor of funding as much on your next project, but that's just my thoughts.
Okay, thank you. Chairman, Mayor Baker, with those comments, what I was trying to come up with is I knew that the 15-year wouldn't work, but what I'd like to see if we could go into the tool is if we could pull up and keep that payment that shows at 15 years, which is $41,933, and add grant, to put grant there to get to keep that payment on that 10-year. That making sense?
Okay.
A zero interest, but change from loan to some grant to get that payment the same. I don't know if they'd be willing to consider that to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when we looked at the tool, when we looked at the feedback that we got, I think it was, if I remember correctly, out of the $629,000, it was $384,000 grant and $285,000 loan or something like that is how it worked out. And so, yeah, $284,000 loan and $385,000 grant. And so we were very happy to see that actually from the calculator and quite excited to see that. And so if we could get something like that for that project, I think that would be a win-win, especially with a little bit shorter term. I think that would work out great.
Okay. I got a question, a new guy question. How dialed in do we need the terms to be to put it on the priority list? Do you typically leave, how definite do we need to be at this point?
You just have to round the loan to the nearest thousand. That's how definite you need to be. Other than that, at the time of the funding meeting, you will have gone back with what the board would authorize and make sure you can. And if we don't hear from the applicant, those will be the terms.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Ms. Yates.
Thank you. I like the idea of doing a partial grant, and I tend to favor the median range of the loan tool. My only recommendation would be that we do have some sort of interest on the loan portion rather than a 0%, just because that seems like it falls well outside of the tool.
Okay. So do we want to make an amendment to the standing motion then to be more definite, Mayor Baker?
Well, normally for producing counties, we go up to 0.5% at the max on the interest.
Okay.
For the producing counties, that's just been the standard with the tool. So I think we're kind of at the end of that second substitute. Is that where you're getting 66% loan? So you'd be looking at 34% grant? Come roughly with the same payment.
Okay.
Well, that's 0%. Yeah. I was going to leave it at 0. That's we're producing county.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Commissioner Ogden, please.
I would make a substitute motion to do the median. Although it is a producing county, we've always been able to. I don't know where we're getting that from, Mayor Baker. But anyway, I would deal with the median with 284,000 in loan, 345 in grant at 1.5% to 10 years, and that still is below what their payment is going to be.
Okay, we have a substitute motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Second by Commissioner Taylor.
Mr. Chairman, comment?
Yes.
Reading your minutes, Mayor, and thank you to Rhonda Goodrich. She's done a fantastic job getting those numbers. And just tell her that I really appreciate her exuding confidence on you and your council, that if you come back or the board comes back to you with a little bit of extra interest, she can handle it. I remember the exact statement. So.
Yeah.
She said that.
She said that, I know.
Well, and to be completely, is it Commissioner Nagy?
Yes, Zinati, yes.
we don't want to, I'm glad that she's open that way. We don't want to come here and be anything other than honest and upfront with with the board.
She's been a finance director. She's really, I just read the whole minutes of all the way to the bottom. And then the next, of course, project that she has calculated, and she's frugal. I know her. She's frugal, disciplined, and very good money manager. I wish we had one of her in every county.
Yeah, she's excellent.
So, yeah, with that statement, I agree with the Commissioner Ogden's proposal.
Okay. I think we need to vote on the substitute motion to take precedence before it surpasses the initial motion.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to have, we do have a second, so we're going to have to take a vote on the substitute motion to surpass the initial motion, and then we'll have to take a vote again. So all those in favor of the substitute motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Yeah, nay. I guess I'm not a little clarification. Why we had a motion on, and then we did a substitute, but we didn't drop the original.
That's what this
so
vote was.
So we're voting on this proposal now for the substitute?
We're voting for, is the substitute going to take the place of the initial? That was that vote. And now the substitute motion has the floor, is okay. On the floor. Yeah. So discussion regarding the substitute motion.
Mr. Chairman, should we just clarify the motion again?
We should.
Please.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yeah, you want me to clarify that? I was going with the medium. $284,000 loan and grant $345,000 at 1.5%, 10 years. That's going to put them below their annual payment by about $10,000. Mm-hmm. That's my motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Ogden, for clarifying that. Any additional discussion on the motion that's on the floor?
Maybe I could, Chairman, if I could step in. Representing a producing county, one of the issues we've had is that we are producing counties, and we've always had a 0% or 0.5% interest on those producing counties, and I hate to have that changed now because that then changed precedence, and we've just had it. So I'm not against what we're doing, but I think it ought to be at a maximum of 0.5%.
Okay. Additional discussion. Yes, Chairman Zanotti.
Mayor, I don't remember any limits on the producing counties on the interest portion of it. We've always been discretionary on the
It has been, but we've always done it so that producing in the tool the way it's set up, and correct me if not understood, when we were putting that tool together, was that the producing county has got at the most 0.5% interest.
Well, I don't know, but Mr. Treasurer just reminded me that the interest rate going up and the borrow money is becoming more and more expensive on the market. So,
right. So a 0.5% is more subsidy than it used to be, right? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we need to give them more. I think there's a lot of reasons why the mineral producing counties ought to have a little bit of special treatment there. So, you know, I'm not super opposed to doing it 0.5%. I'm not opposed to doing it 1.5%. Whatever we think is fair, I think is okay by me. So.
Well, right now we have a motion for 1.5% on the floor.
Okay.
Any additional discussion on this motion?
I'd like to offer a substitute motion at 0.5%.
Motion by Commissioner Lytle for a substitute motion. So the median at 0.5%, is that correct?
That is correct. Thank you.
Yes. Ms. Powers.
Can I make another motion, I guess? Could we split the baby and do a 1%, and that way everybody feels...
Yeah, at some point we're going to need to take a vote, and if it fails, then we can, you know, look at another motion. But so right now, Commissioner Lytle's proposed 0.5% at the median, so if we don't have a second on that...
I'll second that, Chairman.
Yes. Ms. Powers, please.
I'm just confused because I thought you voted on the substitute motion.
No, we voted to kill the first motion.
No, we voted, Mr. Chairman, too. We all said aye and two nays.
That was to put the substitute motion on the floor.
For discussion.
For discussion. Yeah.
Because if all we need is a second for a substitute motion, this will just go around and around and around.
Okay.
So.
My apology.
No problem. Yeah. So we do have a second. So let's vote on this. So we're voting on the median, which is a 0.5% at $284,000 loan, $345,000 grant. Is that clear? Clear as mud? Commissioner Todd, discussion?
Yes. Just can we see what that shows? Can you put that up? We don't have that 0.5%. Or is that too hard to put together?
It's the second substitute there. So just change.
My brother confused. Trust me, we're right where we're right.
Yeah.
It's okay. So, just for clarification, we're voting on the median at $284,000, 10-year at 0.5% with $345,000 grant. Is that correct, Commissioner Lytle?
That is correct. Thank you.
Is this the second substitute?
Yes.
This is the second substitute. Yeah. So we're going to vote on the second substitute. If this vote passes, then this motion is on the floor, and then we'll take another vote to approve that motion. So I'm going to start with roll call. Ms. Hansen, aye for the second substitute.
Aye.
Mr. Baldwin,
aye.
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 Chairman, aye.
I go with nay.
Nay.
Aye.
Treasurer Slaw. Commissioner Ogden, nay.
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner Lytle.
Aye.
Okay, what's that?
I couldn't track it. Raise your hand.
It was
just
those
for
eyes. These are the names.
Yeah. 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 Motion passes. Okay, so the motion on the floor is $284,000 at 10 years at 0.5%, $345,000 grant. Now we're going to take a vote to approve this. Okay, so I need.
May I take a roll call vote?
Which will go on the priority list. Yeah. Yeah, let's take a roll call vote. So this is to approve that motion. Any additional discussion?
Okay.
Okay, we'll roll call. Ms. Hansen.
Aye.
Yes.
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 Aye.
Yes.
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 Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Okay, approved. Placed on the priority list at the median, $284,000, 10 years at 0.5% with $345,000 grant. Thank you.
Who was the second on that?
Mayor Baker.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm keeping care. Okay. Everybody woke up yet? That was good. Okay. Item 4.2, Roosevelt City Sports Complex. John, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. So just want to give a little history with this project and let you know why it's even coming before CIB. So, again, this is a project that has been in the works for a couple of years. I don't know if many are aware, we had an aquatic center that we built in Roosevelt. It impacted a couple of our softball fields and baseball fields there so that they weren't really very usable. We had two age groups that could use them. We were approached after that time by Duchesne County Library, Commissioner Todd, and a group that was put together to build a new library in our area. And Roosevelt City was one of the areas that they were looking at to put this library. We felt it best, given the circumstances and the surrounding area, to have that library there where those two fields were impacted and next to our aquatic center. And so we ended up negotiating with the library board and sold them that property. With anticipation, we own property in Constitution Park where we have other ball fields. And so as far as efficiencies and things like that, it would increase because those ball fields are closer to other ones when we're having tournaments. Even upkeep, O&M and things like that, it would be better suited in that area. So we had that piece of property that we anticipated to build these ball fields. We sold the property to the library, and they have started construction. since that time, as everybody knows, the costs of everything have gone up. We still want this project to be a community project and have as much involvement from the community as we possibly can. However, again, with inflation, that project cost went from about $1.5 million up to $2.4 million and now to $3.5 million. So what we were anticipating we would be able to cover as far as the costs are no longer an option. However, those fields are already gone, and so we're at a disadvantage. And let me explain a little bit of our disadvantage. So we have Roosevelt City provides recreation for its city and the surrounding areas. We've been doing some research for the last year and a half, on how our facilities are utilized. What we found is we have about a 60-40 split of utilization of our recreational facilities. So 40% Roosevelt, 60% outlying areas. To give you an idea of how heavily utilized our baseball fields currently are and our soccer fields, because this will be baseball fields, soccer fields, and pickleball. We have 800 youth that sign up to play baseball and softball every year. We have a couple hundred, it's closer to 1,000 youth, given the girls' softball and things. That doesn't include the adult sports, softball, co-ed softball, men's and women's leagues and things like that. Soccer, we have 600 participants in soccer. They had to turn several kids away this year because we just don't have the facilities to accommodate that. And so the reason for our ask of the 50-50 split on the baseball complex, knowing that it's not critical infrastructure, is knowing that we're impacted by where we're on the county line. We have Uinta County, Ballard City coming to use our facilities, and we have Duchesne County using our facilities, but then we put that burden on 2,700 households in Roosevelt City, and we've been bearing the brunt of that. So this is a way for us that those two producing counties can contribute and participate without affecting their budgets, where everything is going kind of crazy right now. And this will help us get our facilities. So Roosevelt City is still on the hook for 50% of that. The other counties, producing counties, would be on the hook for the other 50% of that. And we felt that that was a good way to try to get this facility built. So that's where we're at.
Ms. Powers, do you have any additional comments?
It was noted this project,
Mr. Chair,
in the public hearing.
I don't even keep up on my own directions. Public hearing, Councilman Cloward stated we have anywhere from 800 to 1,000 kids, which you reiterated. My question would be, is the school going to participate with this enhancement or this increase? I don't see them participating in any financial way, but they will. Will they be the users and the benefactors of this?
So obviously our sports programs funnels kids and feeds the school programs, right? But actually, as far as utilization of this, the school doesn't, they have their own fields and things. And so I don't think they would use this a lot. We are working on some things with the school district right now as far as the aquatic center and some of the other facilities that they utilize of ours. And we're trying to offset some of those. So maybe not directly the baseball fields, but we are looking at coming up with ways and entering into contracts where they will be paying portions of our other recreation that we provide, which will offset some of this, but directly, Candace, no, not up to this point.
Okay, I'll open it up for discussion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Okay, the chair recognizes Ms. Hansen, and then we'll move on to Commissioner Lytle. Ms. Hansen.
Great, thank you so much. So the land that went to the library, was that donated, or were you paid for that? And then if there was a payment, could that be like a contribution towards this project for the city?
Absolutely, and that's a very good question. So we felt like we discounted the property a little bit. Maybe they felt like they paid a little too much. But we did receive $375,000 from them for the land. Knowing that the project costs, I talked to the engineer again yesterday, and he said that he was pretty confident with the $3.5 million. But that $375,000 gives us a 10% contingency. So we built a little contingency in the project already, but we're utilizing that, and we're kind of holding on to that just in case we have overruns. But in all honesty, I know it's an optimistic view, but we're hoping to come under budget on this because we really want it to be a community project. We want to get those 800 to 1,000 youth there laying sod. We want to, our engineering costs, you look on the proposal, are about 5% of the project, but we're trying not to even utilize that because the lights come pre-engineered. This is something that's not brick and mortar, so we don't have to have a lot of engineering fees. So we're really just trying to make this a grassroots project and a community project. So we're optimistic that we'll come hopefully under budget, but that $375,000 we have is a fail-safe, I guess.
Okay, Commissioner Lytle.
Good morning, Mayor. Couple of questions. Do you have any joint agreements with either any of the entities that use the fields right now, whether it's with the counties, recreation departments, whatever impact, or the tribe? And then the other part of it is, are there sports occurring on the school fields, the elementary, junior high, that are helping mitigate some of this issue for now?
For now, yes, we had, for example, a girls' tournament, a softball tournament. We had to use the school's field. We had to use some of Ballard's fields, and so we had to spread out. And we had 36 teams in that tournament, and we could have several more teams if we could have found facilities to provide for that. But as far as the agreements, Commissioner Lytle, we don't have any. We attempted, I know that came up in our last meeting, we did attempt to talk with the tribe. The relationship with the tribe is improving quite a bit, but it's very difficult to get in with their business committee if you have any experience with the tribe. And so we've attempted, but we haven't really gotten anywhere there. As far as Uinta and Duchesne County, as far as ongoing agreements and things like that, nothing. If we can get the project built, we feel like we can handle the O&M. And Roosevelt City is looking at, part of the reason we did the data and did the research on how our facilities are utilized is we're looking at pricing our those things differently for people that live in city and out of city, and hopefully capturing some of that, some added revenues through that. So instead of having contracts with the counties, we're looking more at educating the public and then having differing rates depending on if you're in city or out of city limits. So up to this point, we have not done that. We've just provided that for our area.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes, I just got a couple questions. Is this on a priority list with your county or city? I don't see it on any AOG sign-off sheet or anything. Is this on a priority list?
It should have been. Yeah. It should have been. I don't.
It's been there for several years.
Yeah, with the city, it's definitely been something on.
Okay. So this project here. Of course, it's a sports complex. So is this taking priority over other water projects, sewer projects, or anything of that nature?
Not at the moment, no. And we do have a very aggressive list on those other projects, and we made sure that we have funds for those. This was more of the surprise. Like I said, we didn't want to come to CIB with this one. We just didn't know. We tried Major League Baseball grants. We tried outdoor recreation grants. I mean, we tried every avenue we possibly could to get the funding for this and struck out at every turn.
Not literally.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Chairman Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So once we have approval on this project, you have your greens already in place. What kind of water are you going to use? Because of the state conservation
challenges.
So that question came up, and there's we have. So to give you an idea, we were wondering about turf, but with the cost of turf, that would really put the project out of our reach. But we have secured 3,000 acre feet of water in Sandwash Reservoir. Several years ago, 1,500 acre feet of that was always used for fish flows and went down the Colorado River. Just a year and a half ago to 2 years ago, the state said they're no longer going to participate and pay for that, and we had the option to let that go or keep it. Having the foresight, you know, our staff and council, and with the water situation, we ended up keeping that 1,500 acre feet, but we really don't have a delivery point for that at the moment. And so that 1,500 acre, that's a lot of water, and we're not going to even, we won't even use a just a small portion of that for these ball fields. But it's a use it or lose it for us as well. So we have to pay for that 1,500 extra acre feet. Okay. And we don't have a really good way to utilize that at the moment. Once we build our secondary infrastructure out completely, it'll utilize the majority of that 1,500 acre feet. But right now we have, I hate to say that because in the drought, you don't ever want to say you have more water than you can handle, but we have a lot of water right now.
So your community does not have any reuse water or the facilities for treating the water for the reuse purpose?
Not at the moment.
No. My next question or comments will be that you heard the deputy treasurer saying that he's not in favor of this project, or maybe not as much favorable.
Sure.
I'm going to ask Paul to put the orange sheet or yellow sheet on the screen for us to see. Okay, right here. I know that you're going to be looking for the bottom line as an annual payment.
Right.
The way you have requested, your annual payment is coming about 121. If you go to the next line, next column is the minimum. You can see if we even change category, rather than 50-50, 90-88%, you still have 115, less than whatever you requested, which I'm sure is going to make really Rhonda happy to hear that you even save more money to her department. So you may need to consider that second column, which is the minimum for the purpose, to make Deputy Treasurer happy.
So that was all loan, is that right?
That was 92% loan and 8% grant.
8% grant.
Okay. And still, the annual payment is less than what we have requested.
30-year loan.
Right.
That kind of extends it out, but 8% or a 0.5% on the loan, is that
yes.
what that is?
The way it is right now. 92% loan, 8% grant, 0.5% interest over 30 years, so we'll not be crunching your too much of your payments. So you save you $6,000 a year annual payment.
And I think that would be more of an option for us, too, if we could secure some repayment from the counties
sure.
as well, just because in our minds, and not to be unfair, but we want... We feel like it's fair to our citizens to have those that are utilizing that pay. And so however that's done, we just want to be fair that way as well.
Yes, Treasurer Slaw.
So first of all, I think you make some great arguments. And I certainly understand the cost overruns. They're hitting everybody, and that's hard because, you know, it's not only you and this ball field that's having cost overruns, but also other critical infrastructure. And so they're coming back to CIB and needing more, and that puts us in a really difficult position. But, you know, the other thing, you know, I'm not quite as in favor as Commissioner Zanotti on the first one, because that's 30 years, right? And
yeah.
Your facilities obviously are going to need a lot of maintenance between now and then, and so trying to pay for something 30 years from now that's kind of used up, I think, is probably not the fiscally conservative thing
right.
to do, and I favor fiscally conservative policies when it comes to funding infrastructure, right? Because you don't want to, you know, put this off to the next generation and cause a big issue for them. However, I think what you did mention about needing to get the counties that are utilizing these facilities on board is critical. I think that there needs to be some strong discussion about how important these facilities are for them, and that their participation is necessary and needed, and not necessarily pushing that off. I think it's probably a lot easier and more convenient for everybody to use CIB. Well, you know, those mineral lease monies are ours anyway, but What I'm trying to say is we have to keep them focused on critical infrastructure. So I would be in favor of something that's more like a 15 or 20, even maybe a 20-year loan at the most. And just because you're part of mineral-producing counties that are bringing in a lot of CIB money, I would be in favor of something that's like somewhere around 100% loan. I would even be willing to do the 0.5% that Mr. Baker says is what we do for mineral producing counties, but I just can't see myself giving grant money to something like this when there's so many other critical infrastructure projects out there that are also having cost overruns and are facing all the same dilemmas that you are. That would be my, and you know, I know the payment might be a little bit more, but that should give you some time to get the other counties on board with helping you with that obligation, because quite frankly they're utilizing the fields too. So
Commissioner Todd, in a sense, if this is a rebuttal, Duchesne County and Uinta County are also, they are participating. That's where the money comes from. So I think a grant of some sort has, that's in a sense what they're contributing, because that's where this money is coming from. Point blank. That's where it's coming from. Duchesne County and Uinta County.
Are you talking about the CIB funds?
The CIB funds.
Yeah.
And okay. And so I just feel at some point there has to be some type of grant in respect to that.
So. Commissioner Ogden.
Yes, I want to know what the revenue source is to pay back the loan.
It's going to have to come. So we have obviously the sports programs, but we know that recreation, for the most part, is not a moneymaker. So it's going to come out of general fund for the most part, sales tax, and things like that.
So you've got that committed. That's already in the budget for this. So,
correct. And the good thing about it, Commissioner Ogden, is the like I said, we're losing a few fields, so we no longer have the O&M there. We're transferring that O&M up to this other area. It's already a large area where we have soccer and we have baseball fields just adjacent. So efficiencies, the water is not going to cost us anymore. So really, it's almost a net zero for us as far as the overall O&M costs for these things. So it's not going to impact our long-term budget. It's just the getting it built now that and trying to replace those fields.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mayor Baker.
If there's no more discussion, Chairman.
Before you do, since that last motion was so smooth, I want to apologize. I made a mistake. When a substitute motion is on the floor, we will vote on that motion. If it fails, we go back to the original motion. I want to acknowledge Chairman Zanotti was correct. So, sorry, I apologize for the confusion. A little rusty. It's been a couple of years. So, Mayor Baker, please.
So I think we've had enough discussion. I would make a motion that we do as they proposed, $1,750,000 in grant, $1,750,000 in loan, 15-year at 0.5% interest.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Jack's on it.
Commissioner Lytle.
It's okay. I was trying to get in up before the discussion ended. Sorry. Didn't get my hand pulled down yet.
Okay. Do you have a second for that motion, Commissioner Lytle?
For the sake of getting it on the table for further discussion, yes.
Okay. Motion seconded by Commissioner Lytle. Is the motion clear, Ms. Powers? Okay. Discussion on the motion on the floor.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Chairman Zanotti.
Substitute motion, if it is allowed.
Yes, please.
Minimum, as it is stated previously, we just get some grant, some loan, and yet the payment will be less than requested.
So that is that with the 30-year term?
Yes. Unless you want to change it to 20. What will be 20, Paul, please? Daniel Pemberton, 169. You want to call the lifeline, your friend?
Well, you know, I'm of the same opinion as Mr. Slaw, and that is, I wouldn't want to carry a 30-year loan, and I wouldn't want to have our residents carry a 30-year loan. I think the 20-year looks more favorable. If we could get a little more grant with that and bring that payment closer, I think it'd be a slam dunk for our for our council and our residents. Even if we could get somewhere in the middle of 25% to 30% grant, I don't know where that puts the payment, but I think that would put us within reach for sure.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'm going to ask Paul to adjust the payment, annual payment.
Okay.
Paul, can you adjust payment of 120 or one? What was that? For the 30 years.
If I may, real quick, I can't see the screen, so if you'll read the numbers as Mr. Zanotti requests them.
Yeah, and then so we'll clarify the motion, and then we'll need a second on this motion to continue discussion. So if we could, Chairman Zanotti, would you please clarify the motion?
My first motion was that the minimum requirement, but that was my first motion,
as a substitute. Yes. So do we have a second for that motion?
I'll second.
Okay, second by Treasurer Slaw. Discussion. Seeing none, I'll call for a roll call vote. Commissioner Lytle, excuse me. Discussion on the substitute motion for the minimum.
Thank you. Could you, because you're not sharing the screen, Mr. Zanotti asked for in terms of what the minimum payments would be, or what the payments would be under the minimum. No one read that number or said it out loud, so it's not available to me as easily.
Okay.
I understand it's in the notes, but I don't remember seeing the changes.
Okay. Well, we can read it. So, $3,220,000 loan at 30 years at 0.5%.
No, 20 years.
20 years, excuse me.
That was the change.
How much grant?
Yes. That was the
same grant.
Same grant.
Just the term changed from
$280,000. Yeah. Is that clear, Commissioner Lytle?
Just to follow up, Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
With my comments about Ms. Goodridge, again, when I read the financial, but this portion of the minutes indicated that she has a lot of cash in hand to be able to pay the annual payment. If you want to go back and read the minutes, I would gladly do that, but she has confidence that you will be able to pay annual payments.
Yeah, and I agree with you. But as we're talking about other critical infrastructure, sure. That's money that we could put towards other streets and things like that, too. So,
especially if you're going to be able to commit other commissioners of the counties to pay part of your bills. And then you're hoping that you're going to get better bids and save money because what is your engineer, what is the contingency of this construction for this particular project?
I think it's about 10%.
So we should be able to afford it.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion?
Commissioner Lytle.
Commissioner Lytle.
Okay. You're on mute.
You're sounding good, Jack.
Nope.
It's still mute.
He's got a voice for radio.
He's got a There you go.
Okay. Is this more better? I understand. I also have a face for radio. I forgot to put my hand down. I apologize.
Okay. Any comments on the motion that's on the floor, Commissioner Lytle?
I have no further comments. Thank you.
Okay. So now we'll call a roll call vote.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Nay.
Mayor Baker?
No.
Commissioner Todd?
No.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
The motion carries with three opposed.
Okay. Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, up next we have the Washington County Special Service District, number one, landfill administration building and drop-off improvements. Welcome.
Welcome, thank you.
Go ahead. Mr. Chair, I have one person from the Special Service District on here as well.
Okay.
Do we want to recognize them?
Yeah.
Okay, what's their name?
Kevin Newton.
Kevin Newton.
Okay, we want to, the chair recognizes we have an additional representative from the Washington County Special Service District on Zoom, Kevin Newton.
Coons.
Right. Coons.
So, give a little brief introduction. I'm Craig Coates. I'm on the Washington City Council, and as part of the council, we get assigned to the board, which is the Solid Waste District Board, and I'm the chairman of the Washington County Board for the Solid Waste. We're a 21-member board. So we have all the towns that have a member, so we feel your pain with a large board as well. So, but with that, Kevin is our manager, and he's on Zoom, so he's taking a little time out of his vacation. So we apologize he couldn't be here today. We have Carly, who's our financial director, and we have Jim Childs as our architect, and then we have John, who's our financial advisor back there as well.
Welcome.
So thank you. Well, the project we're asking for is that our landfill, which feeds the entire Washington County, is in dire need of improvements. We've run its life. It's the scales and the buildings have basically are run down to basically it's time for an upgrade. And with the county's growth over the past 20 years, we've doubled and tripled in size. We're to the point where we need multiple scales to just get the traffic through as well. One of the items that we definitely have currently concern with is our current scale house. You can kind of see it. It's pinched right up against the current landfill. That's the building right there. That's the administration building. It's just to the right. It's kind of hard to see on that image.
Where the green dot is.
So that's where the current scale is, and it's pinched between the actual landfill, which you can see to the north. Yeah, right where it shows that dot is. So the landfill is just to the north, and the scale house is just right where it says Washington County Landfill. Right there. So with that is only allows us one travel in and one travel out. And currently, the building, how it situates, as we weigh the way as we leave, we have to come out and actually get out of your truck to go get your ticket and move forward. So it's unsafe that way. And then just to the south, we have our private dumping station because we don't like residents being on the landfill. So we have our dumping station just to the south there. And that as well needs some improvements as we move forward on that. So kind of what the plan is you can see the black outlined area. This is the area that the county has donated to the district for to improve the project. And the goal is to relocate the scale house, improve it to four lanes of scale houses, two in and two out, and get us a better traffic pattern into the landfill and be more safe.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Powers, any additional commentary?
A question I would ask if I was a board member. It is noted that it's been in the planning stages for several years, and their estimate is $250 per square foot. Is that sufficient? Because current office building costs, as I Googled it, would be $490 a square foot.
You're correct, unfortunately.
Yes, unfortunately. And so we have looked at that. We know it's increased a little bit more for those buildings. Do you have that card? So on
and one more comment.
Yeah.
The district currently has no debt or credit history, which could cause some complications as we issue the bond. My question would be also for the board to consider, could this project be approved as separate projects, like the office building and the...
Yes. So, okay. So, answer the first question. In our estimate, we have the office building at $400 a square foot is what we have there in our estimate. And then the next question is, can you pull up the layout of the proposed design? So one of the ways we looked at it is we are going to look at it as a phased project. And the tough thing is, because of the orientation of how we have to work off our roads, is that we have to bulldoze our current administration building at the same time. We're going to work around it during construction, but at some point to put in the new the staging areas for the public goes right on top of our existing building. And it kind of has to stem from, you can't really see here, but this is a very contoured site. There's a lot of elevation grade. We're kind of up against a ridge here. And so the landfill road as you come down is extremely steep, so we have to have our accesses off that down on the east end and then loop in. Is there that other file that's in the packet that shows the... Sorry, I want
to. The project description.
Okay. Yeah, right there. So you can kind of see where the staging area is down there on the bottom of that exhibit is. It takes out the existing building. And so it potentially could be different projects, but I think it's tough to not take out one without the other. So we want to move the administration building to the southwest, which is the west side of that exhibit, bring in the double scale house, and then get the orientation back around to the existing scale house there on the bottom right.
Okay, I think from the district, Mr. Kuntz has requested to speak. So the chair recognizes Mr. Kuntz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I again apologize for not being able to be there in person. I wanted to add just a little bit more color, hopefully without belaboring the point much longer, just to the importance of what's driving the need for this change, and really it's safety. We have a real inability for large trucks to enter the landfill safely without crossing lanes of traffic, oncoming lanes of traffic. And we have the general public that aren't able to take their trailers to unload them in that convenience center there. They have to go up top. So anyone that's up there around the large machinery is in jeopardy. And the design of the current public drop-off has seawalls that is very unsafe as well. We had an accident where someone fell and cut their head pretty badly. We had another incident with a truck crossing the lanes that ran over a power pole. So everything is really tight and extremely jeopardous. And so that's why we're really urgently trying to solve this so we can have a safe environment. We also have had, as Craig mentioned, with the growth, the delays at the scale house can be upwards of 20 to 30 minutes at times. And our commercial haulers, it's a huge impact to them. It's a huge impact to the residents that visit the landfill. And so by adding those additional lanes, we expect that entrance and exit of the facility to be very quick. So anyway, I just wanted to emphasize the safety factor of all of this in addition to what Chairman Coates has already expressed.
Thank you. Discussion. Chairman Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Coates, I've been in the business and in St. Joseph for 30 years, and I'm 69 years old. I have seen too many trash talks on TV, national debates, state debates, but not as much as trash talks that you had in your meetings. 4 pages of it, and detailed, gory.
You should see the meetings we hear about trash along our roads as well.
This is really amazing. And as Candace indicated, that has been in the process for several years, Mr. Chairman. And I know the facilities. I frequently go there to whatever we do for construction and residential. I really didn't know impact of the one collection for refuse can have this much in the residence and the lifestyle of the residents. I know that few people have complained that they sit there for 45, 50 minutes to get in for just a small item of dump that they have to take care of. And recently when I heard about the accident that you had, it was just like it breaks your heart. Ambulances have to stay there for 45 minutes in order to get in with the flashing lights. And that is not safe for the people. And I know that you had quite a bit of discussion about the finance in this place, and I really enjoyed reading it, that how much you have tried every aspect and every opportunity to finance it through the house. If you can, use the cash money. But I agree with some of your people, including the Mayor Billings, and it is better to borrow money to try to resolve this issue as fast as possible without imposing taxations on the residents, because recently, Mr. Chairman, we got the utilities, the power, and the sewer and the water in Washington County increased 20%, if I remember right.
Yes.
Approximately. And then add in this garbage, I'm sorry for the language, taxation on the residents of Washington County, I'm going to be one coming back and trash talking to you in meetings. So I understand the enormity of the projects and, of course, the challenge that you have to face, but I understand also you've done every opportunity to solve this within-house within the last 7-8 years. Now it's time to fix it and by borrowing money. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have any comment?
Yes.
So first of all, I want to say, I think this is very much needed. The parts I'm struggling with is, A, Washington County isn't a high mineral producing county, right? And if you look at Washington County, they have some of the best economic revenues coming in from other sources. So I look at Washington County much like I look at Salt Lake County or Davis County or other counties along the Wasatch Front that have a lot of economic opportunity and a lot of tax revenues coming in from other sources. Whereas in a lot of the CIB money we allocate goes out to rural counties that don't have those same economic opportunities, and they depend on CIB to build their critical infrastructure, as well as mineral producing counties that we're both mitigating the mineral impacts as well as supporting counties that are high mineral producers. So while I agree that the project is definitely needed, and this is so Mr. Zanotti knows I'm an equal opportunity offender here. My concerns with this project are those, right? I know it's hard. I know there's cost overruns. I know it's difficult to find the money other places. But Washington County has opportunities that most of our other rural counties just don't have, right? So I don't know if you've looked at and I'm not an expert on county revenue sources either, but I don't know if you've looked at impact fees. You know, I know that it's a highly, you know, you're putting a lot of houses in Washington County all the time. And so I don't know if you've looked at impact fees and other things as a way to fund this project. But I'm having some concerns just because of that dislocation between the mineral production in Washington County as well as the other economic opportunities that they have in Washington County.
For sure, and those are great concerns. We understand that we're not a mineral-producing county, and we're different than those other counties. The thing that we looked at is that's why we didn't apply for a grant. We understand that we're looking for a loan, and one of the things that district has a problem is we don't have a credit history. I think it was mentioned earlier that we don't have a credit history. It's hard to go out and get bonding in those kind of items, and so this kind of funding it's something we looked at. It was like, hey, this can really help us and understand. Now, to answer your question on the county has donated their land over to help with that. Now, as far as their funds, I can't speak because I'm not a commissioner for Washington County on where those funds, if there was any additional, but we did ask for additional funds from the county, and they felt like their funds were being utilized a lot more in their infrastructure to keep the roads and maintenance up there to keep the county rolling, and they didn't have any additional funds for the landfill. And then the other item on the impact fee, I don't know what the impact fees are in other areas. I mean, but our water impact fee alone is almost $15,000, $14,000 right now. And when you're building a new home, I mean, I built my home 6 years ago. It was $30,000 back then, and I think it's close to $40,000 now on some of these impact fees we're seeing.
$45,000.
So to implement another impact fee, we admit, and it takes time to go through that process and the engineering, and we haven't gone down that road, I guess, is my answer to you on that, on the impact fees. I don't think we've thought about that, have we?
Yeah, we've talked about it. Sorry. I'm Carly. I'm the finance director. So we have talked about impact fees. So one of the interesting dynamics with our board is that, you know, we have 21 different representatives, and so I think to get them on board with imposing an impact fee is a little bit of a struggle, if I'm just being completely honest with you. The only other avenue that we could come up with, you know, internally was we don't currently tax, right? We don't currently take any portion of tax money. So a lot of times people just assume that because part of our name says Washington County that we have tax revenue funding, and we don't. So we're straight user fee based. So those are some of the challenges with coming up with how to fund this type of a project.
Yes, Mr. Bartholomew.
So to follow up with that line of thought there, with the fees that you do collect as they come across the scales, what are they used for? Why is there not a reserve being built up over the years where you can put some money into this?
So we do have a reserve. Some of our reserve has to go toward, more than half of our reserve has to go to cell closure of the landfill.
Right.
So we have reserve put toward that. We do have some money we're putting toward this project as well, toward it. We know that we've started our engineering on it. We want to get ahead of the game on the engineering, so we've moved forward with that, and we know that we'll have to pay those fees, some of those fees. We have included engineering in this as well.
So we know that this has to go in. So we have paid for our master plan. So we've spent $129,000 on our master plan, and we have already started on our preliminary design as well as our full design. So we have spent $143,000 on this project already, almost $144,000. And we do have facilities besides just these facilities. So we have facilities on both the east side and the west side of the county that are transfer stations that are also in need of repair. Currently, the district contracts with Republic Services to operate the landfill as well as manage the household collection garbage. So a large portion of our revenue, like 96%, goes directly to Republic Services. So we try to manage our funds and keep rates down, and we do try to save for a rainy day. We want to make sure that we have cash on hand to make the repayment and make sure that our fees can cover that. But those are some of our unique challenges.
Follow-up question then, what is your monthly rate for a resident?
Yeah. So that depends. Give me just 1 second. So if you're talking about household garbage pickup, so we charge each city a base rate, and then they actually bill on our behalf. So the rate varies by city depending on what they add as their administrative fees, if that makes sense. So our municipal fee is $12.24 per home per month for curbside collection. So that's collection at the curb. If you want landfill rates, that's obviously going to vary by waste type. And so those rates are included in your packet.
Okay, the chair recognizes Mr. Kuntz from the district.
The point I wanted to mention is that there's also a maintenance reserve fund that we need to fund in about $3 million. And we will be using the $3 million from our current reserves in order to fund that. So that's in addition to what was discussed in terms of expenses that we've already incurred from master planning to design planning, we're also reserving $3 million that we have existing for that maintenance fund as well, so we don't have to borrow additional funds for that. I also wanted to make a point that residents entering the landfill don't pay anything. They're free of charge, with the exception of if they're doing a residential demolition, they have to pay over one ton. But the amount that we are proposing, we'll be taking to the board for approvable once, if this is approved, would be a simple 30 cents, 37 cents per month per home increase for the household, and the rest would be made up by commercial traffic that enters the landfill.
Thank you. Ms. Hansen?
I'm ready to make a motion.
Please.
Unless...
Go ahead. I will make a comment right after that. Go ahead, please.
Do you want to? Okay. I was going to say, just to kind of get things rolling here. So I've moved that we grant a 100% loan for 30 years, but at a 2.5% interest rate, the maximum.
I second that motion, Mr. Chairman, with a comment.
Motion second.
Question on the motion.
What's that?
Just have a question.
Yes. Commissioner Ogden.
Okay. I'm looking at our financial sheet, and I'm trying to figure out where we're going to find the money. We don't have that money in our fund.
That was going to be my question.
Where are you going to find this money to fund this?
Commissioner Todd?
No, I was just going to ask Candace if she had a perspective of that.
Okay. Ms. Powers, do you have a comment?
Well, I only go by statute, and the statute does require this board to keep the fund revolving. This would do that. However, it is also to give priority to the areas impacted by mineral lease development. When there is a deficit, and you've seen the financial sheet, and it's right there on the board, but everybody has it. It's in the packet. If we funded this, it is part of the reason that the bonus fund balance would be in the red. But by October, that number may change. You may put this on the priority list, but you may not be able to fund it in October, and it might have to be held or withdrawn until a later time. You can't spend what you don't have. And so in October, when you prioritize these lists, or when you authorize funding for what you would put on the priority list, some hard decisions may have to be made. Yeah. That is my perspective. Washington County is not, as you can see, the revenue that they brought into this board is $158,000. People noted that they do have revenue sources other than this. And the CIB awards they have been allocated over the past 5 years is $12,437,625. It's not, I don't vote, but I do look at statistics. And so the board can put this on the priority list. It is a possibility that at this season of revenue time, it won't be possible to fund this outside of the impacted areas.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yeah, is this a project that could be phased over 2, 3, 4 years?
I think we can phase it if there's concern, and maybe we need to look at the phasing aspect. Maybe it's get the scale house in. The tough thing is we have to take out our administration building to get the scales in the right direction so they enter the landfill the right way. And that's the tough part. Of the phasing part I saw was that the new administration building on the left there would be gone, and then potentially that would be a different phase altogether, but it's just tough where we have to take out our existing building. So, but we could do the scale house first if we understand that there's only so much money to go around. So if there is only so much, then maybe it's just the scale house and we work around our existing building and figure it out. I mean, we understand if we need to pull back. We did ask for everything thinking because of the constraints of the site, but I'm sure we can figure out a solution with our engineer and move forward.
Okay. Well, we've got Commissioner Zanotti.
I just wanted to see, with the permission of Mr. Hansen, that we can do the pending, put in the pending list until they come back with a better solution then.
Yeah. Yeah, so substitute motion to put it on the pending list, essentially.
But also comment that Washington County's always come before the board to get, but always been loaned, and always they pay the highest interest rate. At one point, we paid 4.5% for the Dixie Spring and 3.5% for the station. So
okay. They
know that they don't deserve grant.
Yeah, we definitely understand we don't deserve grant. I mean, I think what we would ask is that we could get, I mean, what is a number that is – that we can work with today that the board feels comfortable moving forward, and then we can, because right now we planned on funding $3 million from our reserves right off the bat for the replacement, but essentially we could put some of that money toward our project as well and not, and then refund it later and do the minimum refundment. What is that for the... So $100,000 a year. We were going to fund it up front, that replacement for the long-term maintenance of this, but we can just move that money to refund it over the years and use the $3 million. So does $12 million, does that work within the groups?
Yeah. Question from Candace. Can we do this then today and then hopefully October we have the money? If not, we just phase it out?
The board can authorize placing this on the priority list because that does not allocate funding yet.
Okay.
And then have them come back and give us some final numbers for consideration in October.
Okay.
So you can place this as it is, the motion is on the table, on the priority list, which is what we've done with everything. Nothing has been funded.
Okay.
Pending list means you have questions still to be answered, which if they're going to change it and we know they're going to change it, then it should be on the pending list because there are unanswered questions.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
So I would be in favor of putting it on the priority list, knowing that most of the other things that we have put on the priority list at this point have priority over this one on the priority list, if that makes sense.
Good job.
So it's like lower priority, but still on the priority list. I would be in favor with of Laura's motion. That's just my thought.
Commissioner Ogden.
I've got one comment. I know next meeting is a funding meeting, but you also have applicants coming in at that time. So would they be funded at that time as well? So how does that play into this?
It is the anticipation that they will be placed at the beginning of the meeting. You will discuss them. The priority list will then be populated, and you will consider, as you will, what is possible to be funded. So we'll discuss them, and then they'll kind of go to the back of the aisle, and you can authorize final funding.
Well, I kind of look like it's, you know, it's one of those things, the priority. You know, I don't want to beat up on Roosevelt, but ball fields wouldn't be a priority to me over landfill, taking care of the trash, nor the water, nor the roads, nor emergency situation. So that's just a comment.
Commissioner Lytle.
Could you restate the motion and then I may have a substitute?
Sure. Would you like to restate the motion, Ms. Hansen?
Sure. So my motion was that we go with the maximum that is produced by the tool. So that would be 100% loan, a 2.5% interest rate at 30 years.
Thank you. Any additional comments, Commissioner Lytle?
Yes, thank you. The other part is in terms, but we're funding beyond our means, well, not funding. By putting them on the priority list, we know that that exceeds what we have in current revenue. We don't know what expected revenue is yet. And then they, if I understood the conversation correctly, there maybe was some homework for them to do in terms of being able to break the project up, knowing that some parts of it are more difficult than others to do that way. I think the emphasis on this, to me, is infrastructure, very important as it relates to the trash collection, public health, all those things, as well as the safety issues in the facility. I still wonder if pending is still the place to go until that gets squared away.
Yes, Chairman Taylor. Commissioner Taylor.
Thank you. So next month, I mean, we would have to prioritize the priority list for the amount of funding that we have.
That's right.
The revenue.
Yes.
Yeah, but I believe the pending list, is, for context, is when the conversation shifted to do this in a phased approach. Is that correct? So
I mean, that was kind of where Chairman Zanotti was going with that. So if the district is going to, you know, look at approaching this in a phased manner, that it would be placed on the pending list while they sort that out. But as of right now, the motion that's on the floor is for the maximum. If we don't have a substitute motion, then I'll call for a vote here soon to place this project, the maximum range by the tool, on the priority list.
Mr. Chairman, one more comment, please.
Yes.
Three of the county commissioners sit on this board, two mayors and Mayor Billings and Mayor Randall.
So we have St. George City has all of their council members and the mayor.
I was coming.
And then we have one member from the other cities, the 15 cities in the county. And then we have one at-large public as well. Oh, and one commissioner.
Commissioner Almquist.
Yeah, Commissioner Almquist.
I've talked to a few of them in preparation of this particular meeting to see exactly if they come with that kind of money to request, what is the source of the payment, what is going to be the challenges by the board, which is all valid. It is not priority compared to the Duchesne County request. But at the same time, when they reported to me, and it's in a minute, Mr. Chairman, this 30 years left from this large shelf of this particular landfill, is that correct?
The landfill is 90 years.
9 years.
So we have 90 years left in the landfill.
And that's why I carefully and frugally try to reserve and try to use this place before they abandon it. So that's the whole idea. And again, the health issue, you're talking about the temperature 103 that you have here, that you're talking about the smell and challenge of the weather and air. I don't do that to any one of you, but I would like to invite, if you dare, to come back and drive to the site. On the site that they're located, there's the most beautiful homes and golf course located, Coral Canyon and all those neighborhoods. It's just the high end. And you're talking about the impact fees that we charge $45,000 in Washington County to build those homes. They're not going to be able to move to Washington County. Half of you guys have a second home in Washington County, and you're coming to use that. Where is going to be the garbage? Remember a few years ago, the floating barges in New York Harbor trying to find a location to dump? One of these days, it's going to be just that challenge, that we have to locate some places to dump our trash. So by managing it the way it is now, spending the money now, by phasing it out, what are we going to do? I urge my colleague to consider it, because it is getting to the point of that it is unmanageable in that location.
Chairman?
Yes, Mayor Baker.
Could I have a comment here for a minute? What we're talking about, putting on a priority list, which possibly could be funded next month, but what if we put it on the pending list? Can maybe get Candace to explain what that would be, how long and what on there? Because I look at it and hear that maybe they need to get some of these other entities to come back in and look at increasing slightly their service fees, their not necessarily impact fees, but some of that stuff to help offset and let them come back, if it's possible to put it on the pending list, and what that structure is, how long, Candace?
Ms. Powers, and then I'll...
Can I ask a follow-up question with that?
Yeah, yeah.
So to go along with that, my question is if you put them on the pending or the whatever list, my question is how do you, are we obligated to pay that $16 million then, or can we break that up as has been requested to just do the scales?
Yeah. Ms. Powers?
There's four things that the board can do at a meeting. They can either suspend and fund it, and you better have a very good reason to do so. They can put it on the priority list, which isn't funded, but it's waiting in the wings to be funded. Put it on the pending list, which means that you have some questions or pending thoughts, discussion. You know, there are things that they haven't quite clarified for the board. You put it on the pending list. This could very well be one, or you deny it. And deny it means you don't come back. Pending list, it can be on there for 6 months. Then staff will likely, you know, they keep in contact, and if nothing has changed, then it should be a new application, because most of the bids you have are stale by then, so we keep it on for about 6 months. If you fund it, or if you put it on the priority list, that does make you it kind of is a lower priority on the priority list, but we do not rate and rank them on the priority list. You will. And before we ever start, or before the board ever starts to provide funding or authorize those final projects, then you would discuss all of them and say what you want to do then. So it is the board's prerogative to put it on the priority list or to put it on the pending list. But like I said, it will be on the pending list for about six months.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Chairman, can I respond? So just clarification, it was $15 million we were asking for. I just didn't want any confusion. But as far as the phasing goes, I think what we request is that we stay on the priority list. We feel like it's a huge priority, but we'll come back before your October meeting and have a phased approach and show those phases. We do have, I mean, looking at it, there is three phases. There's the scale house, there's the administration building, and there's the public convenience center. Sorry, I always forget that word. But so we can phase it into three phases, and we'll come up with those costs, but the priority is the new scale houses, and we'll get a lower number to help meet inside your budgets. If that's what we would recommend.
Okay. Thank you for that comment. Any additional comments before I call for a vote?
Just one clarification. So if they're on the pending list or on the priority list and they don't get funded, does that automatically put them on the pending list then?
You will decide at that meeting.
Well, we can do, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Right. Commissioner Lytle?
Well, so if we're going to see it come in as phased in October, is that going to be an agenda item outside of the funding, and then we decide whether we're going to fund them? Or, and then the other part is, does it, regardless of whether it's phased or not, are we going to go with $16 million or whatever the amount is? Will it encumber the whole thing as one project rather than if they come in phased with three connected projects, but not necessarily funded as one? Am I making any sense?
Yeah, I think if I'm understanding them correctly, if they pivot to a phased approach, then the request will go down.
Yeah, correct.
And their phase one will be what will be in front of us for funding. So does that answer your question, Commissioner?
It does, and at the risk of dying for lack of a second, my motion would be to put them on the pending until we see what they provide us.
Okay. So we have a substitute motion to put the project on the pending list. Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Okay, so we have a second. So the motion on the floor for the vote now is to place the project on the pending list. Do we need specific terms for that, or is that sufficient?
No, just
that. That's sufficient? Okay. So, Candace, if you'll lead us in a roll call vote for the substitute motion, which is to place the Washington County Landfill Admin Building and Drop-Off Improvements on the pending list.
Thank you. Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yep.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Todd?
No.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Nay.
That motion carries with two opposed.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Powers. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
I have one question before you go, though, just for sake of the clarification. Do you use Febreze after your meeting is over to clean the air?
We have our meetings not at the landfill, okay. The county building.
Thank you for that.
Okay. But the office, like she said, probably has them.
Thank you. We'll see you again. Appreciate it. And thank you, Mr. Koontz, for joining us. Okay, next is the Town of Independence Center Creek Road Project.
You're talking about the trash talk, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Candace, any comments?
While they're coming up, Independence became a municipal corporation in 2008. It's located in Wasatch County. The population is 160. If you divide 160 into their request, it's 42,346 per resident. County Creek Road is a main access to the National Forest from Heber Valley. Center Creek Road. The paved surface of Center Creek Road ends in Independence and remains an unengineered dirt road for 7 miles. In the public hearing, the town is applying for a Mountain Land Association of Governments grant of $6,500,000 of CIB funds. This is CIB. Mountain Lands wouldn't give you a grant. This is a road realignment also, so my question would be, they would have to contact SHPO and make sure that there is no undisturbed dirt for the past 50 years that is going to be disturbed. SHPO appreciates that. And it was referenced that the road would be gated. If this road is gated, CIB cannot fund it because it has to be open and a public access road. CIB can only fund public projects in a public area for public use.
Okay, thank you, Candace. Would the representatives of the Town of Independence please introduce yourselves?
Phil Sweat, the Mayor of Independence.
Welcome.
Lauren Bolger, Assistant Town Administrator.
I'm Chuck Richens. I'm their consulting engineer.
Okay, welcome. Thank you. Tell us about your project.
Sure.
As everyone knows, Heber Valley is one of the fastest growing areas in that state. And there are four basic accesses outside of Heber Valley to the forest. One being up through the Midway area to the Bonanza Flat area, another one over to the Cascade Springs area on the west. On the east, we have the Lake Creek access, which would go to Mill Hollow and all over into Strawberry Valley. And ours would be on the southeast side, that's where we're at. And it also would be accessing the high recreation area of Strawberry Valley, Mill Hollow, and all those other areas up that way. The problem is that with us, ours is the only part that isn't gravel, or is gravel, going up to the forest fence. And because of it, we end up with so much traffic coming out of the Wasatch Front and using ATVs. And it seems like almost everybody that buys a new home in Heber Valley has to own an ATV with it. And so we're seeing so much ATV traffic that it's hard to maintain the roads. And we just felt like it really ought to be paved, and it'd be a great way to help, you know, with the growth of Heber Valley, the way it's growing, also the recreation of the areas around Strawberry and everything up in the Uinta Mountains. And another item is that there's so many ATV accidents anymore that the ambulances and stuff hardly want to use our road, even though it might be a shorter route to where the accident might be, because it's so rough. And I just think that it's time to make the final access out of Heber Valley to the National Forest part of a good paved road access.
Some additional background on the town. As it was mentioned, we have about 160 residents. We don't have a property tax. That was one of the things we wanted the residents to know when we incorporated, as we weren't going to impose a property tax until there was significant development that we had kind of envisioned for the town. That development has not occurred yet, so we are still sticking with no property tax, which is why we asked for such a large or the entirety of the amount to be a grant, because we just don't have we don't have any revenues to come in that would support loans. So right now we have some BNC road funds, but we also have other older roads that we need to maintain as well, so we can't even feel comfortable pledging that roughly $30,000 that we get each year to support a loan. So we really appreciate your consideration, but the proposed grant versus loan amounts that you your staff has proposed just aren't workable for us. So that's something that we need to kind of, I guess, elaborate on more, discuss more with you all, so that perhaps we can get to a point where we can fund this road and make it an engineered road or something that is easier, like the mayor said, for emergency services to use.
Yes. Commissioner Lytle, discussion, questions.
Hi, thank you.
Are we at a point where you're asking for general questions? That's what I was waiting for.
Yes. Go ahead.
So I have a few, and I'll list them out, and then we can work through them. One is, when's the last time you requested FLAP grant money, especially with it being access to the Forest Service or federal lands? What other efforts have you made for other funding sources? And then, is this a county road or is it a town road that you, within the incorporation? And then your minutes suggest that there's some concern over traffic and whether or not you really want to lock the road at some point in the future. Someone does. And in the event I were asked for a group for, and then there's no property tax by your choice, if I were asked to make a motion, it would be to deny.
Okay.
Okay. So, as to your first question, we have not applied for any FLAP, I believe, grants that you asked about ever. Like I said, we were incorporated in 2008, and there's not been a lot of development happening in the town up to this point. I guess, Mayor, do you want to speak about the gating of the road?
Yeah, the gating of the road, the other roads I mentioned that are paved, the other three going up to the National Forest, they do gate those in the wintertime. However, they do allow snowmobiles to go around, you know, around the gates and use that area. But to try to keep the wheeled vehicles basically off of it, in the springtime, just so anyway, the other three roads are gated, and to me, I personally don't care whether it's gated or not, but I just think it's probably a deal to help save the roads. One of the problems with this road is that we're going up through a lot of private property to get to the forest, and it's rangeland. It's not a whole lot of fenced off ground, so. The people going up there, if they're not familiar with the area, I think they kind of think that that's just national forest, and so they're off on private property and, you know, creating problems there, digging up their property. So, and I think if it was gated, that would maybe eliminate some of that springtime damage. But say to me, that if a gate's a problem, I could go without the gate. I don't need the gate.
And currently, the road is gated, and I think some of the reasoning for that is maintenance, our maintenance burden on the road. If it's gated in the winter, we don't have as big of a burden to fix those freeze-thaw and vehicles on the road issues as we would if it were not gated. And I believe one other question was whether it was a county road or a town road. For a majority of it, it is town road. There is some portion that goes across our town boundary into Wasatch County and then comes back in, and we need to, as Mayor mentioned, it goes through lots of private property, so we can't really just realign and make it just stay all in Independence. We need to kind of keep it as it is, and we were slightly caught off guard with how quickly we got on your agenda, so we are in preliminary discussions with Wasatch County, but very preliminary, so this is clearly a joint effort between the town and Wasatch County, or needs to be, but like I said, we're still in preliminary discussions.
Okay, Ms. Hansen.
Thank you so much. In the project description document, it says... under the benefits section, it says economic development of a significant portion of the town of Independence has been limited due to poor access. This project would benefit the town of Independence because it would help make development possible. Could you explain that to me a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. So there's a significant portion of the town that is located, the town's fairly large, that's located up Center Creek Road. And at the moment, Mayor, you can correct me, but it's a very, very narrow paved road that's quite old, up to a portion, and it's not going to be on the upper left-hand side where it says existing gravel pit is where the paved portion of the road ends. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then, so the purple portion of the road up to where it kind of bends, and there's that little yellow dotted portion is all areas of independence that have significant density allocated to them in our general plan. So when we incorporated, we came up with this general plan to incentivize density and creating this community that uses our natural resource, which is the open space and the beautiful mountains, but in a smart way where we kind of condense all of the homes and try to work more intelligently with the density that we've allowed. So there's some significant portions of planned density through here that no one's interested in developing at this point. And obviously, we would love to incentivize people to come in, and if there were planned developments, we could potentially we could ask those developers to contribute to this road. But right now, nobody's really even interested in coming in and looking at it that way because of just the current situation.
That's kind of where I was going with could impact fees as development occurs take care of this problem for you?
Definitely a portion of it. Or we don't, probably wouldn't go impact fee route, but yeah, there are ways we could probably go about this if we had people that wanted to develop. But we don't feel that it's fair to put that burden on our 160 residents to try and complete this road to benefit a much wider population than just our 160 residents, right? So as the mayor mentioned, it's definitely the whole Heber Valley, if not a large portion of the Wasatch Front that uses this.
Okay. Usually, like with impact fees, the new development pays for the impact that the new development is creating, so it wouldn't be an additional burden on your existing residents. Basically, the new development pays for the investments and improvements that
I don't think create. That a lot of the impact will be coming from people coming in from to independence as they build. Yes, there will be definite, but where the biggest impact is coming from is probably from the Wasatch Front, from the long whole Wasatch Front. They're coming out to recreate, and that's where they come to. And so we're kind of handling not only our little town, but we're handling the whole Wasatch Front, Wasatch Back.
And Commissioner Ogden.
Excuse me.
Okay. I have a few questions for you. Being a small town, you're just starting out. I have some sympathy for you for that. But looking at this project and trying to fit that, how this is going to fit, I don't see that it's going to fit into the CIB equation right at the minute. But also, you're talking about gating some of this, and that's not going to work. And I would suggest, in your comments, it says you've got thousands of people going up that road and realizing it's a small community and small town. But and you're saying this is a minor collector. Is there any way you could change that and eventually get that to a major collector? That way you can go to the Joint Highway Committee and possibly get some funding through the Joint Highway Committee. But for what I'm hearing today, I don't think this is one that I could consider supporting.
Yeah, I don't see in the future how that would ever be a major collector. You have to understand the terrain up there. This road that we're talking about is a historical road. It's been there probably since the late 1800s. And I can't see it being a major collector, can you? I mean, yeah, there will definitely be growth, but in the area where this road is, most of this is zoned as mountain property, 160 acres, if they were to have a cabin, so there won't be much there to impact trees or anything like that.
Okay, one more comment.
One more comment. I'm looking at this also. It sounds like you've got a lot of people that have got second homes in that area. And I'm not for sure, but are you collecting monies from these second homes?
We don't have really any second homes in their area. Across, the valley, a little further north of us, is that Timber Lakes development, which, of course, is all, but it's not within independence. It's something the county gets to windfall off of.
So at this point, I'd like to have a motion on the floor before we continue discussion. I think we've talked through this.
Mr. Kenner.
I'll make the motion to deny.
Okay, motion on the floor to deny by Commissioner Bartholomew. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Commissioner Taylor. Any discussion?
Commissioner Leiter's on.
Commissioner Leiter, would you like to discuss the motion on the floor?
Yes, please, very quickly. With everything said, and I just need a quick answer and an opportunity for a follow-up, if I may, Chair. What percent public land versus private land is within your town boundaries?
We have 19,000 acres, roughly, in Independence. 10,000 of it is U.S. forest. 9,000 be public.
Okay. Commissioner Lytle?
Thank you. Yeah. Is the Center Creek Road a dead end?
No.
And I didn't think it was. And then you border on your south boundary Highway 40 for quite a while.
Yes.
Reading your minutes and then also reading your town history, it sounds like you, since 2007, you're not the newest town in the state, and there was some opportunity for you to become a town that was rife with some, I guess, difficult discussions. I applaud you for your effort, but I concur that with the motion that it's, I don't think, three things in my mind that I work to do. Is it the right time? Is it the right thing? And is it for the right reason? I'm good on right thing and right time, or right reason and the right thing. But as far as the right time, I have a very difficult time, and that's why I made the comments I did earlier. Thank you.
Okay, with that, the chair will call for a vote. Roll call. Motion on the floor is to deny.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Todd?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes to deny unanimously.
Okay. Thank you for being here with us today. We think it's a great thing you're doing. I'm sure we'd like to hear from you again.
Come visit us.
Thank you.
Bring your four-wheelers.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good day. My apologies to Kane County Water Conservancy District, but I'd like to take a brief 10, 15-minute recess, if it's all right, for our longer tenured board members to stretch your legs.
Thank you. Thank you.
What does that mean?
What about the rest of us?
Recording stopped.
If the members of the board will start making their way back to their seat, please.
Could they trade him for draft legs? He'd be stacking up first round draft picks. They got five for Gobert.
But he just married
like five first rounders. Mitchell, they'll get
three.
All just going for all first round draft picks. You can't develop that player.
It never works.
Depends on where he's going. If he goes to New York,
play. They discuss Christmas there. They live that long.
Miami, too. That was a popular thing. They've got some nice pieces they could send back.
You got to have a few experienced people to help the new guys really reach their potential, I think.
Yeah, Danny Ainge did this in Boston, and it took them a few years. But
yeah.
Remember they had the big trio, and they won a championship, and then he just unloaded all of them for a ton of draft picks, and it took them 5 years.
But then they never, I mean, they've gone to the final. It's not like they've ever won a small team.
It's true. Point taken.
Yeah. 12:30.
you have to change the culture around here, though, to make it a place where they want to be, they want to play.
Yeah.
Because once they hit one of the good ball players, they want to be somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, we are going to ready, Brenda? Okay. So we'll call the meeting back to order at 11:23 a.m. We have a representative from the Kane County Water Conservancy District here with us to present their project. Please introduce yourself, and again, thank you for your patience while we stretch our legs.
Thank you, Board and Chairman. My name is Anson Clarkson, representing the Kane County Water Conservancy District. I'm in charge of special projects, and we are in need of a new maintenance building for storage and to be able to work on some of our equipment that we have there. We have currently house, and I wanted to use air quotes on house, our equipment outside of an old farm shed that is part of the original farmhouse that we built. That's an example of a shed that we've already purchased. One of the contributions we're making to this project is we purchased that over a year ago, and thankfully, hopefully saved a few tens of thousands of dollars in that purchase. But we've been housing and holding any little storage that we could in one of the original sheds on the farmhouse that we built that we have in proximity to the Jackson Flat Reservoir. And it is no longer fitting our needs. We have recently brought on several private water systems a little bit east of town that will require a little bit of growth on our part as an organization. And when we originally planned this project a little over 2 years ago and began the planning process, we thought we were building a little bit oversized, and with the growth that we've seen, it's now going to fit just right here in the next 2 or 3 years. So it's a 9,000 square foot building. It'll have some offices in it for our water masters. It'll have some staging and storage for different water materials, piping, valves, pumps, things that we'll need to be using within our systems. It'll hopefully do a good job of keeping some of the sun that our machines currently sit in off of them and extending their lifetime. The seats of our equipment start to deteriorate a little bit. Any of you farmers out there that knows a little bit of sun on seats and steering wheels and armrests makes that deteriorate pretty quickly. And we're hoping that through this we can do a little bit of a cleaner job of keeping our equipment clean, keeping our piping clean, and out of the weather.
Thank you. Okay, brief discussion. Do we have any questions for the applicant?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Chairman Zanotti.
Thank you. Where's the source of that in-kind money that you have, in-kind of the application, in-kind money, $224,000?
There are two. I made reference to one earlier. We purchased the metal building that we're going to be constructing. It cost just around $109,000. And then the other $115,000 is the land that we already own that will be built on. It's not a segregated parcel from that old ranch house that I described earlier where the other shed currently sits. It's not separated from that, and so we just parcel off about an acre, and that's reasonably what an acre goes for these days in Kanab.
And have you approached other agencies, other government entities for the money, borrow, get a grant?
We have not. We are bringing, within the application, it explains that we're bringing that $224,000 in kind to the table, but beyond that, and what isn't reflected in the application, is our own labor force that will be doing a significant portion of the build-out. I'm a general contractor, and so this fits well within my wheelhouse of putting together this metal building and the office build out on the interior that our own team will be furnishing that, and so that will be expenditures that we'll take on ourselves in paying that labor, though, like I said, it's not reflected in the application.
Thank you.
Additional questions, comments? Commissioner Ogden?
I'd make a motion when you're ready.
Please.
Okay, I would make a motion that we do the maximum for this project. I've looked at their financials. They seem like they're pretty solvent. I think that they could handle that.
Thank you, Commissioner Ryan. Do we have a second?
I second that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
motion. So can we clarify the maximum is all loan, right?
It's all yeah.
Loan at 2% with no grant?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay.
Any further comments? Treasurer Slaw?
I might make one comment. So, interestingly enough, I always thought of King County as being a class one or class two, but they're actually the number eight mineral producer in the state now, right? So, you know, when we talk about, you know, the class fives and the class fours needing priority because of the impact that goes through there, you know, Kane's actually, you know, the number eight, they're square in the middle of the number four counties if you look at the rainbow sheet. And while they have taken a lot of loan from CIB in the past, it's been 90% loan and very little in grant, which if you look at comparison to some of the other number four producing counties, you know, I think it's been actually fairly reasonable. So I wasn't actually expecting that when I looked at the rainbow sheet. But so given that, I know we have limited resources, but I'm also trying to be fair to the mineral producing counties. I would like to propose a substitute motion to go with the median rather than the maximum, which gives them a little bit of grant, not a lot of grant. Still mostly loan, and it's 1%. I feel like that's a little bit more fair than just hitting them with the maximum. So
I would that.
Propose a substitute motion.
Okay, motion seconded. So on the floor right now we have the median proposal at 1% interest and a $28,000 grant. Any discussion? Commissioner Lytle.
I have a question relative to previous projects on the books. Before I feel like I can make a good vote on this project in particular, I'd like to get a little more understanding about the land purchase and the others to know if things have gone forward or not.
I think you're asking about the previous special consideration that the board gave to purchase the private parcel of about 73 acres just east of our building, just west of our building, and that was finalized, I guess it's September now, so it was last month that it was finalized, and everything has gone through according to what was expected.
Okay, thank you. I just hadn't heard. And then the other part was this building or some of this work will have office space and different things in it. Is that different than the office space that we funded in 2016?
Yes. Do I need to explain further how that might be different?
Commissioner Lytle, would you like further explanation on the difference between the two projects?
No, I now that you mention it, I got pieces of the other one. This explains to me the connection, so I'm good. And if you've got the motion and the second, is that correct?
Yeah, so the motion that's on the floor is for the median, $333,000 loan, 30 years at 1%, $28,000 grant. I'll call for a vote.
That was a substitute motion, Mr. Chairman.
Substitute motion, excuse me.
One more question.
Yes.
Please. The Alta coal mine, is it operational now? Are you guys getting any kind of proceeds from it? Do you know?
My understanding is that it is operational. I know that they've been struggling with some licensure issues with the state, and so I don't know how cleanly that's currently being run. But my understanding is that it is.
That's my understanding as well.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You bet. Okay, if we don't have any additional discussion, we'll call for a roll call vote for the median. Ms. Powers?
This is a $333,000 loan, 30-year at 1%, $28,000 grant. Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
No.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Todd?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
No.
Mr. Zanotti?
No.
That motion passes with three opposed and the chairman abstaining.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Okay. That moves us to board member discussion and or action items, if I'm not mistaken. Item 9-1, CIB board meetings. Let's see, October 6, 2022. Yes, Treasurer Slaw, comment? No?
No.
Okay. Is that? Oh, that's not what we're in Moab in November. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, October 6th, assuming that date works for everyone, for their calendars. It's during muzzler season.
Yeah. Can I speak to it real quick? I'm sorry.
Yeah, please do.
October 6th and that time period, it's kind of like what we're warming up to right now for me. If I could have your indulgence in the event I can make the meeting, I would probably need to do it virtually.
Okay. Okay. Well, that works for us if it works for you. Any other comments on that date?
I just might make mention I'm not 100% sure with my new position. I'm assuming I'll be able to be here, but I don't know yet.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that.
Maybe we can ask the Attorney General.
Oh, Chris. I was wondering if you're going to be a new backup point guard or something. Training camp.
No, that's a great question. I thought you were talking about scheduling, but in terms of that, you are here in your capacity as an elected official. So if you'll be stepping down from that role before January or before October 6th, I'm not sure what the...
I'll begin September 17th is when I start.
So that might impact it. Let me look at that because you may no longer be statutorily eligible to be on the CIB.
And we have selected my replacement, but he needs to be approved before the Senate, and that'll be October 21st.
Yeah. So it may be that it's a vacant position, but I can get back to you on that.
Okay.
Good question.
Or okay. Or bend the rules for 1 month or something.
I just had to say that for you. Okay, any other comments? October 6th. Speak now. Forever hold your peace.
It will be in this building.
It will be in this building. Is that a surprise?
Possible.
Oh, I'm just wondering if there's something I don't know. Okay. Okay, next item is CIB interest rate discussion. 2.5% is the CIB established interest rate. Comments, discussion on this topic.
Can I ask that question in respect to that? When you say established rate, not above that rate?
Well, that's just where we spread out from.
Well, it seems like that's the maximum rate from what we have been approved.
That's right. Okay.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
When's the last time we issued a rate at 2.5%?
Before COVID.
Land in Kane County.
Yep. Yeah. Before that.
Not often.
Okay.
I thought we kind of followed Commissioner, Chairman. I thought we kind of followed what just after what the bond rate is. Just we usually just follow a little bit below what the bond rate is. I don't know if that the guidance.
Yes, Ms. Powers.
The statute used to say that this that the interest rate had to be within 1% of the bond rate. That was in statute. It is not anymore. It just says it must bear an interest rate.
Thank you.
What do you mean by 1%?
The bonus fund. Well, it's
1% of the bond rate.
1%,
what's the bond rate? Is that the market rate that they would get? Or?
Don't I?
Okay.
It had to be within the state of Utah's bond going bond rate and not less
okay.
than
a so the state of Utah's GEO bond.
Yes.
Current GEO bond rate.
So
okay.
That was when it was established. Now it just has to bear an interest rate. They changed the statute to take all that obtuseness out of it.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle,
please.
So help me remember, Candace, please, if you would. When we set the 2.5, I think we were in Ridgefield the last time we did this.
Yes.
And had the discussion. Does it have to go? Is it an administrative rule process that we use to do that?
Nope.
Or
it's policy.
Policy. So, just wanted to make sure I knew the strength of our policy versus administrative rule versus code.
In statute, it says that the board decides the terms for any awards they give. So.
Right.
So that's all that's in statute, but the exactness is policy.
Is policy and not, but we didn't move it to rule. So that.
No. Yeah. Nope.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So you could make 10%.
Yeah. Mayor Baker. So I guess hearing that was my. Going to be my question was if we could move up or not. It seems to be that people are coming more here too. It's not because they think it's because, well, the main reason is they can get better interest rates, what they think. So I'm not opposed to maybe looking at bumping it a little bit, not that we have to go there, but it's some, you know, maybe make it realizing that some of these entities that. And I'm not going to name names, but some lately come in to us versus going somewhere else because they could get a better interest rate. And that was, that's my thought.
Ms. Hanson.
I'm wondering if we bump the upper limit up to 3%, if you would want to similarly scale up the minimum end from 0.5 to 1. So the edges of the tool would be 1% to 3% rather than 0.5 to 2.5.
Ms. Powers?
Sorry. But yes, that does affect because what we will do, because what he has listed in the funding tool is 2.5, that, and it spreads out from that. If you change it to 3, then it would affect the tool and it would kind of.
It would shift it that way.
Are we using the tool, if I may? Are we using the tool to dissuade people from shopping or to make more money off the money that's available, or do we need to do just harder work on screening projects and prioritize them more stringently? Help me understand. Are we using it to filter the projects? Are we using it? Help me understand what people's motivation is on this. And I'm not being judgmental. I'm just trying to understand what we're trying to do.
Ms. Powers?
Is the question, why are we using the tool?
Absolutely not. No.
What was your question?
My question to the board, not the staff,
yeah,
was by raising the rate, what is our motivation? Is it to thin out some projects so that we end up being more competitive, therefore more costly to some projects if we don't use our discretion in the way that we have? Are we trying to lessen our load in terms of getting some projects not to come to us so quickly if they're trying to go, they have to go to a bank instead of us or whatever. Or are we maybe better to be more stringent on our, without changing the rates, because I think some people need them, and I don't know that the tool needs to be changed. I think it's one thing to have policy that says we can go up to 7% or whatever we want to, but the tool, I think, takes into so many other things that to what I feel like is somewhat arbitrarily raising it because the market is up in terms of the rate percent. I just want to make sure we're not going to lose the little guys or the projects that we've deemed really need it and recognize the value of less, that the money not costing as much as it could otherwise. It just means more work for us as a board in the discernment process.
Sure.
Sorry, I know that's a messy comment, but
yeah, no, thanks for clarifying, and I think it's a good tee up for a discussion. You bet. Commissioner Bartholomew.
So, like Dean said, you know, I haven't been here very long, but there has been a couple of applicants that's come in that said that they're here because of the low interest rate. Plain and simple. They could have got the money elsewhere. But yet, like Jack says, you don't want to stop the little guy. So could you raise the upper interest rate and still leave the bottom one at 0.5? Would that mess up your...
We can leave the bottom.
Yeah, so we need to discuss how, you know.
We can leave the bottom low and we can.
Yeah, that would be good.
I think we
can. Yeah, that would be good. Because I think we're trying to accomplish two things that I think, you know, the board's behind. Chairman Zanotti, do you have a comment,
yes,
sir?
Yes, please, if you don't mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I agree with Commissioner Lytle. I hate to take a discretion out of our board that would come over because we travel from all over and we have different backgrounds and different understanding of the projects and communities. I just don't want to be relying all the time with the computers and toolboxes to dictate us what should we do. Paul and his committee have done a wonderful job to give us some kind of ideas and parameters. But ultimately, Scott mentioned, Commissioner Bartholomew mentioned that they can go someplace else. No, they can't because rate stairs are too expensive. And the documentation, origination fees, and closing costs, it is just prohibitive. This is the money is available to communities and counties and cities, and because that's their own money. They can come and enjoy it, and then less restricting. But I hate to take these small guys that have nothing to their names, small communities and mayors and county commissioners, they have just nothing in there. We have one independence came over here, bless their heart. They came with the idea that they maybe get lucky, but it's not Christmas, they didn't. So we have to have those small guys in the consideration. Big guys that can afford it, they can bring their money and they can afford to pay, but the small guys that we're trying to get, and after all, it's a revolving money, we're trying to get the loan out of our money, otherwise, what's the purpose of sitting there millions of dollars doing nothing? For all these years of the COVID, we didn't get more than what, 0.025% in the notes?
Yeah.
That was nothing.
PTI, right? Yeah, right. Yeah.
So we can get that money for 2%, 2.5%. And 2.5% is, again, discretionary. We have done for the Washington County 3.5%, 4.5%, and they're willing to pay for it because they needed the money.
Mm-hmm.
Kane County paid for the hospital 3.5%.
Right.
Even though they were asking for 2.5%. So let us have the opportunity to have this board to decide what is really good project, what is not good project, what kind of discretion we can use. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, you bet.
Mr. Chair, I'll make
yes,
a comment.
Please.
So, yeah, I've been thinking about this. So, you know, Chairman Zanotti's right. I mean, we're already offering subsidized rates to these people, and that's intentional, right? Because this is all money that we want working within our communities. Of course, the higher the rates, the more money we would have to put back into the communities, right? And so as we're looking at some of these cost overruns that we're looking at and funding out, that might be another way, but it's all coming from the same source, which is
you know, the counties. So I don't have a super strong opinion about whether or not we ought to lower the rate or what the default rates are. I think I'm with Commissioner Zanotti that we still ought to be able to consider like 0.5 rates for certain indigent communities, but I wouldn't be opposed with having the standard rate be bumped up to reflect more market rates, just because I believe, you know, as rates rise, the value of what we're providing is being compounded. And so if you're talking about people that are maybe borderline, you know, should we be funding these people? But we, you know, kind of like the Washington County thing that came today, right? We were saying, okay, you're borderline. We still want to offer you financing, but we want to do it at the maximum rate. That's what Laura proposed. Well, that maximum rate gets better and better for those people as the market rate goes up. So I think we do need to bump the maximum rate because I think there's always going to be those borderline applications that come in that we want to fund, but we don't want to provide too much subsidy, right? Like we don't want to overly subsidize. And so, you know, bumping the maximum rate to me makes sense, but also reserving the ability to still fund at a 0.5 rate for some of the very, you know, indigent circumstances or whatever, I think makes the most sense.
Sure. Yeah, and it seems like there's consensus with the board that's, you know, that's exactly what we're trying to accomplish. I've got a comment, Mayor Baker.
Well, I'm agreeing with you there, and I wasn't saying we got to bump it and hold it fast, but I'm saying, but on some of these projects, it would be nice if we could see what the little higher rate was, how much more they're paying, because I'd like to go through it and see the different payback to the CIB, you know what, and if they can handle it. But I don't think it'd hurt to have it bumped a little bit. Just there doesn't mean we have to, that's hard and firm, because we've never done that. But
Commissioner Ogden?
Yeah, I was just looking at our exemption form, you know, and that's just another thing for us to use in the tool. I would agree. I think we need to keep the low end. Maybe you do need to go up a little bit on the upper end. So, but another thing we don't want to do, you know, we do have the Washington counties come in and the King counties and those who do provide, and we give them all a loan, that helps generate the money, keeps this revolving. So we also have to be careful about where we go on that scale, too, just to comment.
So what are we thinking for the maximum rate bump, a half a point, a point? What's our thought there?
Yeah, Laura suggested 3, so that's a good starting point.
So what is it now? What's the rate?
2.5.
No, I mean, what is the rate, a bank? What is it right now?
3.5.
Are you talking about the state's geo bond rate?
No, I'm talking about Zions Public Finance.
Yeah. Zions Public Finance.
Fixed rate of 15 years, though. We go 30. Yeah. Fixed rate.
They're at 3.5.
They're at 3.5 for a public what finance. Rated county, right? Because the other thing that comes into play is how strong of a credit is your county, right? And some of these people that are coming to us don't have super strong financials. Yeah. They're not like the state with the AAA bond rating, right? They have lesser credit, and so you got to take that into consideration because a bank would, right? So
yeah, they've got tight underwriting too.
Yeah.
So what are we? 3%?
I might say 3.5. You know, given where rates have gone as a maximum rate, knowing that we can set the rate anywhere we deem as critical, but like I'm saying, I'm thinking more of there's not many that have got our maximum rate, right? But the ones that do, I want to make sure that we're not being overly generous in the subsidy because we've kind of deemed those projects to be borderline.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we're setting a lower bar out. So yeah. We do have the potential to take action on this if we want. We can continue the discussion, but so I don't know what that motion looks like if it's just you know, that we would move to adjust the established interest rate, but if the board's interested in making a decision today, we can do that. It's noticed on the agenda.
So quick question to your comment, if I may.
Yes, please, Commissioner.
So if I understood correctly, that what's the average geo bond you're saying is probably around 3.5%?
Yes, that's the Zions Bank rate.
That's probably their lowest rate.
That's their lowest rate.
That's pretty low. I think that rates are a little bit higher than that, and I'd have to check and see exactly where we're at before. And maybe that's what we ought to do is get a pulse on where market truly is.
Yeah.
And then come back and then, you know, make sure that we're still offering a little bit of subsidy, but just not a whole ton, right?
Yeah. So that's a good point.
October or November meeting. Yeah.
So that's where I was headed with to get that information maybe out in front of us and have a little more informed conversation. And my motion would be to table it to the discretion of the chair for when he wanted to put it on a motion, on a agenda.
Yeah,
I'll second that.
Yeah, we don't need a motion, I don't think, because we don't. I mean, it's just a discussion item as it stands. So, okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Could we, when we get that information back, look at kind of what the full spectrum might be? Like, what would the median range then look like based on, you know, if we get back that the market is saying 4.5% and we want to come in a little bit below that, it would be helpful to see so we don't end up with a median range that's like 2.16% or something. Do the math. It would be helpful to kind of see what that full range might look like.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll have staff collect some information and organize it for us for future discussion and potential action items. That sound good? Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you, Chair.
Yep. Thank you, Commissioner. Okay. Then at this point, I would entertain a motion to enter closed session due to pending litigation. To discuss pending litigation.
Second.
Chris, who made the motion?
Jack.
Okay, well, let's do a roll call vote. Actually, we don't need a roll call vote on this.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, you do.
We absolutely do.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Mr. Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Todd?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Is the chairman abstaining? The chairman abstains. It passes with the chairman.